You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. Huh.
Check it out now. Huh. No doubt now.
Anita Marks, hour three. If you were tuning into our golf show, hour four. On this Sunday fun day here on 98.7 ESPN, without further ado, that music only means one thing. Cynthia Freeland joins us. You see her all over the NFL Network. I'm sure she was just as busy as I was this week. Cynthia, hi.
How are you, my friend? Happy draft weekend.
Oh, my gosh. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's almost there. I'm an hour away.
It's almost there.
I don't know about you, boo, but, man, I feel like I've just been nonstop. I'm not complaining. I love what I do. You know I love the draft. We both love the draft. And how appreciative are we now, after a year of not being at the Combine, to really appreciate that experience in that week and all the knowledge that we get while we're there. But I'm one pooped puppy, mama. I'm
running
on fumes. Yeah, I'm running on fumes. Let's start. You know, obviously we're on here in New York, so let's start with our hometown teams. And I know you got your finger on the pulse of the Jets better than most. So your thoughts on the Jets draft and how they did. What was your favorite pick?
You know, I thought the Jets did really well overall. I think that, you know, if I'm looking back, I love the fact that they went back up to fortify the O-line after taking Zach Wilson. That's the strategy. You have to do what you need to do to make sure he has success. I like that they added a wide receiver. I thought it was a great draft overall. Like, some of the picks, like, later on, I don't know them as well, and I'm not sure how they'll fit in, but I know all of them, but, you know, I've done a lot of research on this draft, but, you know, those are picks that will be interesting as they develop. But ultimately, I think it was overall a very, very strong draft. I love that they drafted two people with the same name, because you can't have enough Michael Carters on your team, because why not? And I think it's interesting to see just how good that they can have for Zach Wilson, where Sam Darnold didn't have that opportunity.
You think Sam Darnold is watching from Carolina going, why couldn't they do this for me?
No, because Sam Darnold now has his own situation. The Panthers did a really nice job drafting for him. So I think, you know, onward and upward for everyone.
I do like what the Carolina Panthers did, for sure. And probably my favorite pick for the Jets was Vera Tucker. I think the way that the draft fell out, I think Detroit was shocked to have Penny Sewell sitting there for them, your Detroit Lions. And then where Slater and Vera Tucker landed, I think was really huge. And I love the move that they made to go get him. I think he's hands down the best guard in this draft. Paying attention to the Giants, they wheel and deal, which isn't typically what they do. But Joe Judge is in that war room now. So they move down. Chicago gets their quarterback. And with the 20th pick, they choose Kadarius Toney. Your thoughts on that selection?
I like it. I think that the trade down was really smart. I don't know. I mean, I think B+ for the player. I think he's good. I don't think he's elite, but I think he's very good. And A for the trade. So overall, A, because the accumulation of all of those assets were amazing. Second pick, I love Aziz Ojulari. That was one of my top value picks for day two, because I think that he's a day one talent that they got on day two. So I liked the whole thing all the way around. I like Toney. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I just don't think he's nowhere near like Devontae Smith or any of those guys, right? But he's still really good. And the fact that you got capital, a lot of capital, in order to get all these different, but very, very good stuff.
Yeah. Again, I'm with you. I like Toney. I just think 20 was a little too soon. Darisaw was still on the board. Russo was still on the board. I had those players both ranked above Toney. And again, not to take anything away from him. I just would have gone in a different direction. But at the same time, you know, the assumption is this is the year that Daniel Jones really has to perform. And so this organization wants to do everything they can and go above and beyond to put this young man in the best and have the best opportunity to succeed. So, you know, did they draft a little hungry here? Possibly. If that's the case, I get it. Right?
I'm with you. I mean, I think, yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I liked it overall. I think the Giants have a really disciplined strategy. And I think, you know, I hate to say, like, maybe this year isn't going to be the best, but they've got a nice long-term strategy. They're going to be good for several years with this kind of thinking.
You know, you mentioned Ojulari. You know, he slipped. A big reason, as we got closer to the draft, there was some speculation and some reports out there that he's got pretty bad arthritis in his lower legs. Can you confirm, deny? Do you have any information on this and what's being reported? What do you know about that?
I've heard it. I heard the same thing as you. I heard that that was like a concern, but people that I was asking to, no one's like, that's not what I heard. They're like, it's not that bad. Like, it's kind of an unknown. So it seems that it's confirmed that he has some arthritis, but who does? I don't know. It's hard to know if that's really a problem or not.
Well, I will say this, and you know, the Giants medical staff is one of the most conservative in the NFL. So if they signed off on this guy,
right.
You know, that would lead me towards not believing a lot what was being out there. But at the same time, you look at all the guys that they signed in free agency, and pretty much every guy that they brought in has some type of injury issue. Adoree Jackson, Kyle Rudolph, Galladay. So I don't know. Is it a change of philosophy at the organization? I don't know. I don't know. But regardless, who was the team in your mind, Cynthia, blew it out of the water, just crushed the draft, owned the draft?
You know, it doesn't sound so sexy, but I think the Browns really owned the draft. Every position, they did that thing that I love that actually predicts for a lot of success, where they brought in some free agents. So they brought in a corner, they brought in an edge rusher. And then they fortified it by going back to the draft and getting those same positions that were positions of need. So they got Greg Newsom. That was a corner. And obviously, you know, they had gotten John Johnson from the Rams earlier. That was an area where they were allowing a lot of passing yards. If you're going to play with a lead, you have to be able to stop the pass. They also brought in Tack McKinley in free agency. And then they doubled down and got a pass rusher, too. So the fact that they were able to do kind of this nice strategy of doubling down and then using later picks to, you know, really think about their line, think about things for the future. I don't know. Browns are going to be hard to beat, in my opinion.
Yeah, their defense is just going to be really, really absolutely sick. Your thoughts? So there's quite a few. Like, I love what Denver did. I'm really high on Denver. I'm really high on Washington. I'm really high on the Patriots. I'm really high on Cleveland. I like what Carolina did. What's the one team that you scratch your head and you're saying to yourself, what are these dudes doing?
Well, I mean, the Texans are obviously the first that come to mind, because with so few picks and then that first pick being a quarterback, and then what are you signaling to the market and what is going on? It feels like it was weird. I think they're weird. And Seattle, same thing, picking a wide receiver with, they only had three picks, period, full stop. So I don't know, these teams with very few picks didn't seem to make them kind of work out. Because if you look at other teams like the Chiefs, who weren't picking until later, they did a nice job, right? Like, not changing their draft significantly, but they did a really nice job of figuring out what's going on, right? Whereas, you know, and I'm with you on the Broncos, by the way. I like the Broncos draft too, especially since I think Aaron Rodgers will likely be there. Just saying. And at the end of the day, when you look at the teams that are like, what's going on? You know, like, the Lions had an average draft. Fine. Okay. I know Peninsula was very exciting for them in their war room, but it was an average draft. But you see, I don't know, like, you have no picks. At least make the three you have count. I don't understand that. Not one bit.
I hear you. Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Very interesting. You said you think that's where Rodgers goes. Obviously, the big story is Rodgers coming out and saying, I'm not going to go back to Green Bay if the general manager is still there. I spent a good portion of this last hour talking about how much I love the Denver Broncos and what an amazing landing spot that would be for him. Now, I put money down right after the draft. I was on Daily Wager. We did this segment on Daily Wager, you know, who improved their stock after the draft, who declined. So I loved the Denver Broncos. I went nuts on the Denver Broncos. I went nuts on the Buffalo Bills. And at that point in time, the over-under was 7.5. You just said Denver, and you just with a very soft voice said, I think that's where Rodgers goes. I just immediately went online to see what the over-under is. It's now jumped to 9, which tells me the odds makers know something. You can still get the over at 9 at minus 104. If, in fact, Rodgers ends up in Denver, I guarantee you that that over under is going to jump to probably 10.5. But before we dive into that even further, I'm curious, what are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers? What do you know? Break it down for us. Give us all the deets.
Well, first off, look, shouldn't everyone want to value themselves and their worth that much? I mean, goodness, I'm sticking up for yourself. My goodness, good for you. I think you don't get into that position unless you have leverage and true leverage, not fake leverage, not, you know, the idea of leverage, not just saying, well, I'm the MVP, so I must be able to do it. Like, I'm saying, like, real, true leverage, meaning I'm sure his agents have term sheets from other organizations, because obviously the Packers have to trade him, but Aaron Rodgers won't play unless there are certain terms that are reached. So I'm guessing strongly that there are some term sheets in place, and I'm guessing that there are at least two teams that have it, because think about how you get leverage. The more bidders you have in the market, the higher the price. So I would imagine that there's a strong term sheet, and I would also imagine that, you know, Brian Gutekunst, it's going to be very tricky because they were negotiating a long-term deal. It seems to have fallen apart, and this is a year, it's such a strange year because most people are restructuring their deals to be nicer and more favorable to their team. Aaron Rodgers was not interested in doing that, and he's the MVP. He doesn't really have to. Whatever you think of that, that's your own, you know, you can think whatever you want. But I do think that means he ends up somewhere else.
Yeah. And again, you know, you look at this Denver Broncos roster, Von Miller comes back healthy. You could argue Justin Simmons, top five safety in the NFL. They improve their corners in free agency. They go out and they draft, I think, the best corner that was available. Wide receiving
for
core
sure.
Is solid. Offensive line is, in my opinion, top 10 coming in. And I loved Jenkins. I thought that's a steal. I thought that was a steal in the second round. If I'm Aaron, and then we're hearing, you know, he wants to do double duty. He wants to, you know, host the Jeopardy, which is out on the West Coast, and he wants to play football. He's getting married to a movie star who, as we know, movie stars tend to live in your zip code, your area code. So it just checks all the boxes to me. I just think Denver is the perfect landing place for him. What do you think it would take? What do you think a team would have to give up to trade for Aaron Rodgers, Cynthia?
Well, if he keeps holding out and saying he's not going to play, it drives down the value that they'd have to trade for. But I think it would be somewhere, you know, I think that there was another deal on the table pre-draft, and I think it would take multiple ones. And, you know, for several years, you'd be giving up that first round pick, like 3 ones, probably something like that, and then some other stuff. So, but Aaron Rodgers is driving that down by threatening to not play, though. So I don't know. I think it would take a lot. But let's also be honest about Jeopardy. That Jeopardy takes, like, they film for like 3 weeks. They do the whole thing in like 3 weeks. So he could do that and still be on any team. So, you know, I don't mean to like tell people that reveal what's behind the curtain, but they film all those episodes at once.
She is Cynthia Freeland. You can see her all over the NFL Network and very often on this show here on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun day.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.